This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Morning, everybody. God bless Texas. Now that I say it every year. That's an Okie saying that. God bless Texas. I mean, that takes faith to do that. God bless Texas. Man, we love Texas. All of our relatives, my grandmother had 12 kids, and all of them moved to Texas when they grew up. And she kept saying, "Why are y'all going to Texas?" I said, "Well, Davy Crockett went to Texas. If it's good for Davy Crockett, it's good for us." That's what they said, so I don't know. Anyhow, we do a survey every year, and write our partners and people that have supported us, prayed for us, stood with us forever. And so we write them every year and said, "Listen, we're gonna pray for you guys at the end of the year. We're going to have a staff get together and pray for you. So give us a list of your top needs, because we're going to be in agreement. It's not just a sissy prayer. We're going to be serious about this, quote scripture. So what do you need? What do you want? What's going on in your life?" So they would mail stuff in, and it's just there's just a ton of stuff. So I remember the first time we did it, I said, "Guys, we got to boil this down. This is too much to go through. We'll be all day reading it. So see if we can kind of group this together. Who needs this? Who needs what?" Some people praying for healing, for health, for the kids, for teenagers to turn out okay, for them to get a scholarship to college, a lot of stuff. So can we kind of boil that down? And so we did. So we put it into four basic areas. And so this is the top needs. Now, these are Christians. These are born-again, spirit-filled, church-attending Christians that write back. So here are the top four needs. I'll just kind of give them in the order. Number one, we want more love and respect within our family. Why? We want more love and respect. Now, why are they asking that? That's because they don't have any. I mean, you got to think about it a minute. Why do you need love and respect? We don't. We fell in love, we got married, and it went downhill from there. I'm just making that up, but I believe that. Number two, we want more unity, more happiness, and less arguing. Why? Well, we fight all the time. We don't agree on nothing. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. Opposites attract. People always think, "We fell in love." No, you're ignorant as dirt. You don't fall in love. Love's the most expensive four-letter word in the universe. When you say "I love," you get out your checkbook, your 401k, your billfold, your hunting dog, your bass boat, your rod and reel, and pile that on the table, and then say, "Hey, I love you." Because if love's not cost you something, it's not love. That's good. Number three, we want to be in agreement even when we don't agree. Now, we had to write those people back. We can't do that. You either are or you're not. You either be in agreement or you're not in agreement. And then we want to have more working together. Why? We can't get along on anything. I said, "Listen to me. Opposites attract." When God looked down and, you know, made Adam and Eve, well, this is the first thing, Adam. Adam's got creation. It's all good. The weather's perfect. Clothes are cheap. Food is free. Life's good. And so God was looking at all of creation. He said, "Well, that's good. Good, 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 very good." And all of a sudden God said, "Not good." And when God said, "Not good," he was looking at Adam. He said, "Not good." Adam said, "What's not good?" "You, not good." He said, "What's not good?" He said, "You're alone." He had no concept of alone. It's just him, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and trees. "Lay down here, son, take a nap." So God took a rib and he made Eve. So Adam woke up and like, "Whoa, thank you, Father." And they went off in fellowship that day. They didn't feed the camels or milk the cows or anything. They didn't have to read a book or get instructions. They figured out everything. We've written so much stuff, we've all gone stupid. It's just like, guys, well, you can kind of figure this out on your own, I do believe. Anyhow, number one goal for this year, these top four goals, we want to be closer as a family. Why? We're not close. We want to have more fun together. Nope, it's not fun anymore. Just not fun. Kind of fun. And then we had kids and all the fun left. We're just waiting for them to leave. Well, you better have fun before they leave. You're going to be real old by the time that happens. Anyhow, number three, we want more unity, peace, and harmony. And number four, we want to build a stronger core for our family. And so what happens is we've taught on family for so long, and Denise and I were so, I guess, different. You know, we fought like cats and dogs the first 3 years of our marriage, you know, because my buddies asked him, what's wrong with your marriage? I said, "I married a she-bear from the south side of Hades. That's what's wrong." And they would say, "Well, she sure is pretty." I said, "Yeah, the devil's good looking too. Did you ever read that in the Bible? The devil's good looking. That doesn't mean anything." And so we just didn't know anything about that. So thank goodness a spirit-filled Methodist came to us and got us back in church, got us spirit-filled, and we began to go to church. Church is the only thing living on this planet. It's where life is. So we got in church and saved our marriage. So it was about another 9 years of time to grow and repent and grow and repent and repent and grow. And so it took about 12 years. And I realized, I told Denise one day, I said, "You're not going to change, are you?" No, I'm not making this up. I did. Because I was trying to change her. I was trying hard. I thought, "I can get you changed as I marry you." And she wouldn't change. I said, "You're not going to change, are you?" She said, "No." I said, You'd be the same regardless of who you married, wouldn't you? Yeah. That's not because I'm special. Got nothing to do with it, Joe. I'd love whoever I married. I happen to marry you. I love you. I feel special. Don't I feel special? And then I got to thinking about it. I said, that's a great thing. So I realized it is good to be loved by somebody that doesn't care who you are. It's going to go deep just a second. Because most movies, Hollywood's ruined marriage. We fell in love. No, that's not love. That's Twitter-pated stupidity. It's only going to last 18 months. You're going to wake up next to a she-bear about 18 months from now. That wears off. People say, what happened? We fell out of love. You can't fall out of love. You can fall out of bed, fall off a cliff, fall off the couch, fall out of your truck. You can't fall out of love. Love's a choice. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God chose to love us, and we were going to hell on purpose. Love's a choice. And so I tell people, you can't fall out of love. And so I found this scripture in Revelation. I used it forever. And we're making a mini book out of it right now. I quote this to you. Revelation 2:4, Message Translation, Church at Ephesus. God's confronting the seven churches, and some of it's not good. Church at Ephesus, he's bragging on. He's telling them what a good thing they've done and all this good stuff. He said at the end, though, he said, but I have one thing against you. He said, what? Well, I do have something against you. Well, I thought you were bragging on us. You were proud of us. Well, I am proud of you. You've done some really good stuff. I mean, compared to the rest, you're doing really good. But I do have this one thing against you. And they said, what? And God said, you've left your first love. They said, what? Yeah, you've left me. You used to hang out with me all the time. You know, when we first fell in love, you hung out with me, sang to me, worshiped me. We walked together, talked together. You'd listen when I talked. But now, you know, you got so successful, you don't have time for me anymore. You've fallen out of love. And so I thought, oh, man, a church fellow. So he said, you need to do three things. Number one, you need to remember from whence you fell. What? You need to think back when you fell in love, what it was like. So I do this in counseling all the time. Couples would come in. You know, and I had this one couple that was really special. Denise and I worked with them for a year. Now, we didn't do that with anybody else. Sweet couple. Really loved them a lot. A guy was just a Norman Rockwell kind of a guy. And been in the oil business forever, been very successful. Great wife, four kids. Well, his wife passed away. So we got remarried. We married a gal about half his age from Louisiana, a Cajun woman. Yeah, you can look that up. Cajun woman, full of fire and spit, and we're moving. Well, he was kind of like slow, and you know, he wore a hat and smoked a pipe, and he's a real slow Norman Rockwell kind of guy, and he's married a Spitfire. And so she's wanting to go all the time. He's just wanting to relax. And so they're having some challenges. So we thought we could help them. Sweet couple, loved them. And so we worked with them, saw them every Sunday after church for almost the year, 50 weeks, every Sunday for an hour. And so I'd have my kids sit in the lobby, and we'd talk with them. And I thought we were going really good. So after that finished, about 3 months later, she shut up the office one Sunday. She said, well, I need to let you know something. I said, what? We're getting a divorce. I said, what? We're getting a divorce. I said, well, what happened? We fell out of love. I said, what? We fell out of love. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. How'd that happen? I don't know. Well, when did you fall in? What? Well, you can't fall out unless you fell in. You weren't born next to each other, were you? I mean, how did you fall in? Well, you know, we met at church and went for coffee and started dating and went for lunch and we just fell in love. And now you've fallen out. Yes. I said, you can't fall out of love. Love's a choice. You can fall off your couch, fall out of the bed. You can't fall out of love. Love's a choice. And so we got them both together. Now, they're still married, doing really, really good, by the way. They're still hanging tough. You have to choose to love somebody. You have to choose something. But God said this, I've had people do that to me all the time. You need to remember back. So we took them through. What was it like when you fell in love? Well, we went on a date. Denise and I got to talking one time. We were teaching on marriage the first time, and we're changing our seminar up. We're getting ready to go to this other seminar, and we're at the house. And so we're talking about some stuff we're going to teach and talking about how important dating was. And she said, well, Joe, we haven't been on a date in 7 years. I said, we date all the time. No, no, you and I, not the kids, not all 28 of us, just me and you on a date. Oh, we've been on a date this year. She said, name when? I said, well, we've been several times. When? Where did we go? And I couldn't remember. She said, Joe, it's been 7 years since we've been on a date. Now, the kids are in the house. They're listening. I thought, oh, that's not good. That's not good. I said, we're going on right now. So I went and made some coffee and a cup of tea, and I told the kids, your mom and I are going out on the porch. Don't come out here. Unless you're bleeding to death, don't come out here. And so Denise and I have a big Cracker Barrel porch on the side of the mountain there in Oklahoma. We went out and I sat down and had my coffee. And she's giggling. She says, what are we doing? We're going on a date. Not waiting till it gets right. We're going on a date right now. We don't even have to shave or nothing. We're going on a date right now. We're going out on the porch. We'll sit down. We're going to have our first date. And so I'm drinking my coffee. And it was a beautiful day, man. The birds are flying around. We're looking down the mountain. It's real pretty. And so I'm sipping my coffee. She's sipping her tea. And we did that for 30 minutes. Didn't say a word to each other. And we just looked at each other at the same time. Now the kids have their face pressed to the door behind us. They're staring. And we just looked at it, so I said, that's pretty good. That's good. Let's do that again tomorrow. We went on another date the next day. We didn't go anywhere. We just drank coffee and tea and stared at something. And so, but it started the process of having to fall in love. You need to remember what it was like when you first fell in love. What have you stopped doing? What did you stop doing? Did you stop thinking and talking and singing and kissing and hugging? You stopped worshiping God and giving him time and honor? It's like, you just need to start redoing. He said, you need to remember from what you fell. You need to repent that you fell out of love. What? You got to repent. You need to, sometimes you do it to your spouse. Honey, I'm sorry. I have been a doofus. Please forgive me. I'm not going to change today, but I'm going to start the process to change today. You need to repent. He said, you need to remember, you need to repent, and you need to redo what you did at the beginning. You got to redo it again. Now, I was involved with a Full Gospel Businessman for a long time, and then Promise Keepers came along, and Promise Keepers had a big seminar years ago, the late 90s, and Washington, D.C. Over 1 million men went to pray for our country, go visit our congressmen, our senators. And so we're there, and all of a sudden, we're listening to a guest speaker. I mean, it's outside thing. There's over 1 million men. And all of a sudden, a riot broke out, and we can hear noise. Like, what is it? We can't hear the speaker. What's the noise? Because you're just packed like a sardine can. And people said, what's that racket? And somebody said, it's a bunch of women. I'm sorry, what? This is a men's thing. No, it's a bunch of women. They're mad. I said, who are they mad at? They're mad at us. They're over here protesting. We're trying to stand up and look. And there was a group of women that came to protest the men. Lady, do I know you? I don't know you. And they're screaming and hollering in four-letter words. Some took their bras off, waving them in the air. It's like, lady, get dressed and go home. Where's your husband at? And I thought, what are they mad at? Well, they're mad at men. Well, what, I don't know you, lady. What did I do to you? And so I thought that was kind of odd. Billy Graham's daughter was speaking at a minister's conference a few years ago, and all men's conference. She's the only woman speaker, so she's the second speaker of the day. So when she came to the platform, they said, now these are all ministers in the conference. When she came to the platform, one-third of those born-again ministers stood up, turned their chair around, and faced the back wall. They would not face a woman preacher. We're not listening to a woman preacher. From the beginning of time, the devil has hated women. Now, I'm a father of five women, and I realized after my, second one, I thought, well, I'm a Southern man. I want to have a male. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have me a boy. We're going to have a man child. And so the first baby, we didn't know back when we had babies. They didn't have all the, you didn't know till it popped out. You couldn't, And so my first is a girl. I was like, oh, man, that's a girl. Praise God. I had a girl. 18 months later, we tried again, had another girl. Another girl. I had a 50-50 chance of getting a boy. I mean, so 3 years later, we had another girl. And 5 years later, we had another girl. I dropped five girls. I'm doing this research at the library. I'm trying to figure out what it is. I said, evidently, it's determined by the man, so I have no male genes in me. There'll be no more men in my family. So, so we wanted five kids, so John was sort of surprised. Denise got pregnant again, so we're going to have a sixth one. So I just assumed, well, there's six women. I'm going to have got my own basketball team. I just whatever. So when John popped out, man, I got excited. I was in the room because we didn't know John popped out. I said, hey, he's got a thing. I said, I got me a male child. I danced all over that room, and I hollered and screamed. And I'm telling her, it's a boy. We got a boy. And she's laying there cutting the cord, and I'm holding John there, cleaning him up. And she started to cry. She never cried. I said, what's the matter? She said, we'll have to have another one. I said, what'd you say? We'll have to have another one. He'll need somebody to play with. I said, he got five sisters. He's going to be fine. Trust me. He's going to have plenty of people to play with. Until August 1920, women did not have the right to vote in America. Now, I'm trying to set you up for something here. I'm going to help you. Women couldn't vote. For 82 years, they'd been appealing, writing Congress, going through the process, writing letters. Women couldn't vote in God Bless America. And people say, well, we need women to vote. What for? Women don't vote. They cook something, take care of the babies, put on some makeup. Cook something, woman, dear Lord. You're not voting. Men are in charge. Well, evidently, they changed the law. Now, I taught history for years, so you got the thing. The Congress is all male. Senate's all male. Now, why did they change the law? Were they married to women? I'm not making that up. Why did you say, man, my wife won't cook nothing for me. We got to change this thing. They're getting serious. And so women finally got the right to vote. Now, from the beginning of the Garden of Eden, the devil hated women. The devil didn't go off. He didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve. He's not stupid. He's not stupid. If I get her, I got him. If I can get her, I've got him. So he didn't go after the weaker. Well, he went after the weaker vessel. No, he's not stupid. He's not afraid of anything. He went after the one he knew, if I get her, I got him. And he did. When she sinned, he sinned. And so both got evicted from their house and fired from their job, and the kids started killing each other. What happened? The devil. But from the very beginning, when God came down on Adam and Eve's sin, you know, they realized they were naked. They went to JCPenney's, got some leaves, made some clothes. They're hiding out there in the woods. And God comes down to talk to Adam and says, Adam, where are you? And Adam finally said, I'm over here. He said, what are you doing? I'm hiding. I said, why are you hiding? He said, what you got on? I got clothes. Why do you have clothes? I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? So God's trying to get him to, he's trying to get him to confess. God knows the reason, but he's trying to get him to say it. And so Adam finally said, it was the woman you gave me. It was the woman. Now you can read it in any translation, including the King James. He blamed Eve. It was the woman you gave me, God. When it was just you and me, it was paradise. And it was great. And it was wonderful. And ever since you brought her into my life, I've been going downhill. Message translation. You ought to read that. It's real entertaining. God then went to Eve and said, what's your story? And she's thinking, dumped on me again. And she's thinking, well, snake's fault. From the very beginning, nobody would take responsibility for themselves. It's always somebody else's fault. My daddy's fault, my mama's fault, my aunt's fault, my teacher's fault, my coach. If it wasn't for them, I'd be doing fine. And so they're blaming everybody else. So I began to realize something, having all these girls, I need to make sure they thought different about themselves. So I realized they're going to be an adult one day, and I don't want you to marry some doofus. You're not going to marry a doofus. So I'm going to prepare you to who to marry and who to date, and we're going to train you early. That's one of the first five dates we were with us as a family. The next dates were had to be with another couple I pre-approved of. Man, if you want to date my daughter, you're going to have to, you better be a big boy. We're going to cut you early. And so all of a sudden they began to realize this is what a real man is. This is what he does. Now listen, I want you to get married, suck the lips off somebody's face, drop him a dozen babies. I want you to be a real woman. But I also want you to be a Proverbs 31 woman. I don't care if you own five businesses. I want you to get up early, stay up late, and get some stuff done. I want to raise a sissified female. I want to raise a godly woman. God looked at Adam, who he'd put him in charge of everything. You're going to name everything. You're in charge of everything. Take dominion. But you need help. I got to make somebody that can help you do this big job I gave you. And so he made a woman. He didn't make another man. I say it all the time. People giggle. I'm not trying to be funny. It's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. God said, you need help. I can't make another you. You already need help. And then both of you need help. That didn't fix a thing. I got to make somebody different. So you can go to your public library and look it up. So women have a higher IQ. They got a better manual dexterity. They don't hit sideways in an accident. They're better at a lot of stuff. God did that for Adam. She's not going to dominate you. She's going to be a helper. So women are on the same plane as men. Not one of my girls. No, when you leave home, you're equal. You're gonna love him and kiss him and take care of him and whatever, and you take care of the kids. But you're not less. You're the same level. And so going through it with the kids, I'm going to do something. So here goes. You're going to like this right here. I'm just going to give you a few of these. When God came to the earth, number one, when God came to the earth, he had a problem. He had to come through a woman. He had to be born here. He can't just show up like Superman. I'm back. How are you going to get there? Well, I got to be born. A man lost it. A man's got to get it back. And the only man that's allowed there is a man that's born there. So he, you know, angel visits that little girl. You know, going to have a little virgin birth. You're going to have a son. Going to be the son of God. Going to call his name Emmanuel. I don't know a man. You don't need to know a man. God's going to be the father, and we're going to get down here legally. So she said, well, all right, be it unto me according to your word. Well, then God visits another man. Zechariah, he's over in the temple taking his time over there and said, hey, big boy. You know, because he'd never seen any God in the temple before. He's just in there doing his deal. He said, your wife's going to get pregnant. She's going to have a baby. You know, going to name him John. Going to be greatest man ever born to a woman. You know, and his word was, well, how's that going to happen? That's in the Bible. He said, she couldn't get pregnant when she could get pregnant. She's too old to get pregnant now. That's not going to happen. And so the angel said in the message translation, well, boys, I'm just going to zip your lip. So when he came out, he couldn't talk. What happened? He just waving his hands. There was no sign language back then. So for 9 months, he couldn't say a word. That baby popped out of his wife's womb. Then his mouth opened up. Now I can tell you what happened. Well, 9 months ago, I was in there, and I shot my mouth off, and God just zipped it up. So he didn't want me to take and negate the faith that I'm going to need to have this happen. God came to earth through a woman. So when I began to deal with my girls, I said, you need to know. Now, I love Bible school. You know, I worked as an engineer. God calls in the ministry, go to Bible school. I loved it. But I noticed there were no sermons on women. Where are the women at? Well, they're here, kind of. Men are here and women are down here, and they're really good helpers, and you need one, be a good one to have at the house and kiss every now and then, but they're down here. The men are up here and women down here. And so I grew up in a country, and my city was that way. The South was that way. Every family reunion, we got together. We'd go eat. Well, first we'd go to church, then we'd come to the house and we'd eat, and all the family would show up, you know, my grandmother's house. Then the men would go in the living room and either watch football or baseball, and the women stayed in the kitchen and mostly gossiped. But the men, after they, you know, ate for a while, they'd say, "Hey, honey, bring me another piece of pecan pie. Hey, sugar, bring me another piece of apple pie." And the women would serve them hand and foot. And I'm just a teenager. I'm like, man, I got to get me a woman. I'll tell you right now. Bring the coffee, bring the stuff, giving the men a foot rub. It's like, I got to get me a woman. I'll tell you now. And so I remember Denise and I got married, and we've been married a few months, and we went to her family's house for Sunday dinner, and we're there. And so I'm there, typical male. There, and it's been years. Men, hey, sugar, bring me another piece of coffee, or a cup of coffee, bring me another piece of pie. And so I look, hey, honey, get me another piece of pie, would you? And Denise looked at me and says, "Joe, go get it yourself. Kitchen's right there, and don't get such a big piece this time. You're getting kind of porky." And I realized I'd made something different. Now, I love Denise. She's just a hoot. She's great, but buddy, she knew who she was. And you don't just Mickey Mouse with Denise. And so I realized, oh, man. And then I realized the women we produced, like, oh, man, we better get these things in gear real quick. So I'll give you this real quick. I like this. Acts 2:17. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Well, how about that? Are you sure? I know the sons will. What about, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It's an equal deal. Then it said this, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. The Holy Ghost will pour on men and women. And we're equal. We have different kind of jobs and roles, but we're equal in God's eyes. We're the same. And so if you go to the 1040 window where we're trying to reach people with the gospel, women are beat, abused, raped, murdered. You can dump one in a heartbeat. Women have no rights or anything. The devil's hated women from day one. Why? If I get to the women, I've got the men. If I get to them, I've got them. He's not stupid. So as a Christian, I want to make sure, what do you want to do? Man, I'm going to honor the women in my life. I want to make sure. I had a decision years ago. I said, Denise, I want to be the second greatest thing that ever happened to you. When we get to heaven, after you thank God for his son, I want to be the second thing that comes out of your mouth. Father, I thank you for Jesus and filling me with the Holy Ghost, but also I want to thank you for Joe. That was the greatest thing you ever did to me on earth. Joe was a great gift. And I said, listen, I don't have to be the best looking. I don't have to be the smartest, but I'm going to outserve everybody. Every time I leave you, baby, I'm going to leave you better than I find you. Every time I see you, I'm going to be smiling and have a good report. You got a lot of enemies. I'm not one of them. I'm a blessing to you. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. You know, it's like, I need to be a good thing on the other side. So I gave you these. So I'll just do this real quick. Give me about 5 minutes here. Moses' mother. You got to watch Ten Commandments. It's in there. Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. His mother hid him. You know, they put a baby in the basket. You know, Pharaoh made the law kill all the babies, especially the boys. We're tired of these Jews are breeding like rabbits, and we got to stop that. So all baby boys 2 years of age and under, kill them. Well, Moses is a brand new baby. So the law is to kill him. So mom hid him. She floats him down the river, puts him in that little basket, just like Cecil B. DeMille showed in the movie. And Pharaoh's daughter found the baby. Now, why is that special? Well, she couldn't have a baby, and everybody knew it. She found this baby. She said, hey, I'll tell everybody this is my baby. They won't know the difference. Well, Moses' mother walked up when she'd found it, and she said, ma'am. I said, who are you? She said, well, I'm a mother, so I know she have a baby there. I said, I lost my baby. Now, she didn't lie. She said, I've lost my baby. But my breasts are full of milk. I'll be glad to nurse that baby for you. And so Pharaoh's daughter hired Moses' mother to be the mother of the baby and stay with him all his life in the temple. God's got a really wacky sense of humor. That was good. Rahab the harlot. I love this from Joshua 2:9. Spies are going into Israel. Going to send the 12 men in. Two of the guys came to this house, knocked on the door. Now, whose house is it? Well, this is the prostitute's house. And it was legal back then. We go in the prostitute's house. Nobody will look for us here. And they said, hey, can you hide us here? We'll pay you. Sure, come up here. And well, she hit him on the roof. And the king finally realized the spies were in the land. He's looking for them. He's going everywhere. And he came to the house. And I said, hey, we need to search your house. Some spies are here. We'll search the house. She hit him really good because when they left, they couldn't find him. When they left, she came to us and said, boys, I just saved your life. You owe me. said, I'll tell you something. I'm going to let you down out my back window, which is the outside wall. You can get down, you can escape. I'm going to save you. But you remember, I know we're all dead because I know the word. I know you people are the people of God. Everybody's afraid of it. When you come back, my red rope will be hanging out this window. You promise to save me, my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my father. You promise. I save you, you save me. And Rahab the harlot is in the Heroes of Faith in the book of Hebrews. She's a hero. Why? She had faith. She used it to get her family saved. All this thing about women are second-rate, second-class citizens, said, you're the same as men. I tell people all the time, you're the same. For years, I did this thing. I don't know why they got me, but 35 years ago, I taught a seminar for women. 5 Wednesdays in a row for a group of women, all women. I was the only man there. And so the first class was called Hormones, High Heels, and High Dollar Perfume. Yeah, I don't have time to teach that, but it was real good. They kept bringing me back because I realized something. I was having to do some study about the value of women in your life. And so I knew the divorce rate was going up. I had men that abused her in my family. I had men that abused the women, you know, beat women. You know, they were not faithful. So what's going on? Do you not realize this is the second greatest gift God ever gave you? You can't treat them like that. 1 Peter 3 talks to a Christian man, said, don't give evil for evil or rating for rating or accusation for accusation, but on the contrary, you better give a blessing. He's talking to husbands and wives, Christian husbands and wives. You better not sin against them with your mouth, because if you do, I will not answer your prayer. People say, how come my prayers aren't getting answered? How are you treating your wife? What? No, I'm talking about my prayer life. No, if you go talk ugly to your wife, God will shut heaven down. 1 Peter chapter 3, it's a New Testament scripture. You can't treat your wife anyway. Second greatest gift God ever gave a man was a spouse. You need to smile real big when you leave today. Suck the lips off their face, go into the car. Go buy dinner. Clean up something when you go home. Clean yourself up, that'd be good. I tell them, I'm trying not to be gross, but I tell them all the time, you need to bathe twice a day. Men, you need to clean. I don't care if you bathe before you went to bed, bathe when you get up, rebathe. Leave the house smelling good. When you come home, before you get in bed, bathe again. Wash your nasty self. Brush your teeth, dental floss, put on the underarm. When you get up in the morning, it shouldn't look like a camel died there in that bed. Leave it smelling better. Clean your skanky self up, man. Dear Lord, I don't care if you're not going to kiss at all. I don't care if you're mad. Clean up. Man, praise God, I just saved somebody's marriage. I'll give you just a couple more here. Hannah, she's in the temple. She's crying. You know, her husband's got 2 wives. She's one. The other wife's dropping babies like rainwater out of heaven. She can't have a baby. She's crying. Eli comes, what are you doing here, drunk woman? She said, I'm not drunk. I'm crying. Why are you crying? I want to have a baby. And so finally, Eli said, well, be it unto you according to what you pray. You know, so she had a baby named Samuel. Greatest judge in the history of Israel. Was born to a woman that couldn't have children. You got to get God involved in your life. Quit blaming somebody else. Quit blaming your daddy, your mommy, the doctor, whatever. It's all God. God is the miracle working God. You get him involved, all things are possible to him that believes. There's a great story. I like this. And Deborah, Deborah's the judge in the land, Judges chapter 4, and they're coming to her because there are no men. All the men have wimped out. So Deborah's the judge. You want some? Ask Deborah. She can hear from God. Nobody else can hear from God. Deborah can hear from God. So they're going, so all of a sudden she got a word one day that we're going to be attacked as a nation, but God's going to give us victory. We're going to win. And so the army's getting ready to go to war, you know, and so the king comes to her house, knocks on the door one morning. She opens the door and says, I'm sorry, what can I do for you? And the king says, I need you to come with me. What for? Well, we're going to war and I'm not going without you. No, I've heard from God. I prayed. You're going to have victory. Just go. And he said, no, you hear from God. I can't hear from God. I'm not going anywhere. You don't go. If you don't go, I'm not going. And she said in the New Living Translation, she said, okay, I'll go, but you'll get no honor in this. God was going to give you honor, but if you don't want to do it, God's going to give the honor to a woman. It's in every translation. God will give the honor of this battle to a woman. She wasn't talking about herself. Everybody thought, well, she's talking about herself. No, she wasn't. 6 verses later, the king of the evil army got whipped. I mean, his army's dead, and he's running for his life through the desert. And all of a sudden, he finds a little shepherd girl out in the desert. He's out of breath. Man, he's thirsty. He said, can I have some water? I need some water. Now, the girl knew who he was. I mean, there wasn't Facebook back then, but she knew. And she said, well, I don't have any water, but I've got some goat's milk. Now, I don't know if you know anything about milk. You know, all milk in the country is warm. You know, warm milk, goat's milk, milk. So she filled his belly up with warm goat's milk. If you get a glass of warm milk before you go to bed, about 10 minutes after you drink that, your eyeballs roll back in your head like. he'll knock you out. So she was a smart little teenage girl, filled his belly up with goat's milk. And he said, I got to go in the tent. I got to rest a minute. Warn me if somebody comes. And she said, okay. Now, she didn't lie. So he went in the tent and he passed out. And so she went outside the tent, just her, teenage girl, and she pulled a wooden tent stake up out of the ground. She's got a tent, big wooden. It's not the kind you buy at Walmart, big wooden tent stake. And she went inside when he's passed out. She set that stake right on the temple of his head, and she nailed his head to the ground, and she killed him. They didn't make a Disney movie out of it, but it's in the Bible. God said, I'll give the victory to a woman. Okay, I got 60 seconds. I'm going to throw these at you real quick. Now, you can download this for free on my website. These are real good. Queen Esther, all she did was win a beauty contest. She's not trying to save anybody, but she realized the prophet said, you've been born for such a time as this. You're going to save the whole nation. Ooh, that was good. Sarah, you know, Abraham's wife, said, you are the mother of nations, Hebrews 11:11. When Apollos was preaching less than perfect theology, it was Priscilla and Aquila that set him right. Paul identified two women as the headwaters of Timothy's faith in 2 Timothy 1:5. Romans 16:2, Paul praised 9 women as people of faith, courage, and proven ministry. First European convert was a woman, Acts 16. At the cross, all the men run and hid except for John. In Luke 22, it was the women that were there at the cross. And the women took him down, the women that buried him, and the women were there when he came out of the grave, not the men. Now, what am I trying to do? I want my daughters to know you're equal. You're a child of God. You're not a female. You're a child of God. Act like it. You're a woman of God. Act like it and think like it. You're destined for greatness. Start acting that way. Get married. Suck the lips off your husband's face. Every time my son-in-law's come to my house, they smile. Yeah, I could get more graphic now, but we did good, boys. We taught them right. You get married, you better suck the lips off his face. He better not ever lack for nothing. I mean nothing. Nothing. If you need to see me after, I'll talk to you. John 11, Martha was Jesus told a woman named Martha, said, you're the resurrection and life. Said, I'm the resurrection and life. He gave that revelation. Mary was accused of, men accused Mary Magdalene of wasting that dollar perfume. That was a year's wages in that one bottle. She broke it and broke it over Jesus' feet. And Jesus had to correct her. No, this woman knows what she's doing. Missed a famine. God sent Elijah to a widow. I mean, creek dried up. Birds aren't dropping food. And he's down there and said, man, what's going on, God? Well, I got a widow in town that's going to take care of you. You need to go to town. Okay. Well, I would have thought, like any man, so it must be a rich widow. Man fifth is stinking rich. So he goes to town. He's looking for a rich woman. Got to be a rich widow here somewhere. And he's looking at all the, is that her? No. Is that her? No. Finally, he sees this skanky old lady. God said, that's her. Who? That her. Which one? The one you're looking at. You mean that skanky old poor lady? Yeah, that's her. Your kid? No. So he goes and said, what are you doing, woman? She said, well, I'm getting some cornmeal together, and I got 2 sticks. We're going to make 2 corn dogs without the weenie, and we're going to eat it and die. That's in the Bible. I'm not making that up. And so the prophet says, well, woman, before you do that, you make me a corn dog. Okay, I'll do that. And she said yes for whatever reason. So she made the prophet a corn dog, and the Bible says the meal didn't run out and the oil didn't run out. When people were starving to death, they ate real good. God will use anybody. It's not your IQ, it's not your GPA, it's whether you have a degree or not. It's not whether you finish school. It's whether you're trusting God. So I tell people, male or female, we live in the greatest time of human history. Let's make the most of it. Let's stand up. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Father, as a man, I say thank you for the women in our life. We are blessed and highly favored. Father, give us wisdom to treat them with honor and treat them better and make them think we're the second greatest thing outside of Jesus that ever happened to them. With every head bowed, every eye closed, 2 questions. Nobody looking. Are you here today and said, Joe, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have never, ever asked him in my heart, but God's been dealing with me, and I'd like to do something about that this morning. If that's you, I would like to pray a short 30-second prayer right out of the book of Romans over you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you forward. Men save men. God didn't save men. I mean, God saves men. Men don't save men. It's a God thing. If you're here and you want to get saved, in a few seconds, I'm simply going to ask you to raise your hand and wave it at me and put it right back down. I'm going to see it. God's going to see it. If you're willing to acknowledge you need a Savior, God in heaven will save you right where you stand. Old things will pass away. All things will become new. God will make you a new creature in Christ. Or perhaps you're here and say, Joe, I'm saved. I just haven't been living for God lately. But I've been kind of stirred this morning. I need to rededicate my life. Well, you can pray the exact same prayer out of Romans you're going to pray with these other people. And God in heaven will forgive you every sin you have ever committed in a moment of time. God will take your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will put it in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of your sin in heaven. And God will make the devil pay you back seven times whatever he stole from you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, said, Joe, that's me. I need to get born again. This morning, would you pray that prayer over me? Or Joe, that's me. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you on either count right now, would you get your hand up and wave it at me and put it right back down? Joe, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you there. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you there. Anyone else? It'll never get easy. This God does the saving. He does the forgiving. He just needs our permission. Anyone else? Joe, I've not raised my hand yet. Please include me in your prayer. Okay, right there. Thank you. All right, hands down, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Here's what we're going to do. Those of you that raised your hands, we're going to pray with you, and God's going to do the two greatest miracles he can do. He's going to save souls and forgive sin. So people, let's help them pray right now. Everybody say this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I do believe he is your son. He died for me, and you raised him from the dead. I ask him now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sin. I receive you by faith with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Now, Father, for the hands that went up this morning, either for the first time ever or as a simple reaffirmation of their faith in you, according to your holy word and their obedience, is right now they are cleansed, forgiven, blood bought, born again, children of God. Jesus Christ is their Lord. The devil's not their Lord anymore. They are your sheep. You are their shepherd. They will hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Lord, as they leave today, would you surround them with divine favor? May people start to look at them with a new set of eyes. And Father, bring godly friends into their life that will strike iron and cause them to grow and become all you want them to be. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Pastor, praise God.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.